from the roof of the. You want to record all that? Yeah, on the. You know, in the at Iskon Surat, there's the guest house, and that's just close to the road. On the other side of the road is a very beautiful temple. It's actually a Shirdi Sai Baba temple, and all kinds of other things. But the main Ishta Devata is Shirdi Sai Baba. And then there's the river behind that, the Tapi River. It's dammed, so it's not doesn't flow. But it, and then far beyond in the distance is Surat City. So those one or two TV shows that were shot with me speaking, and in the background is this very beautiful temple, and the river, and then just a faint outline of the city and the Surat city in the background. That was very popular. I got a lot of good feedback. Not because of anything I said, but because of the setting. On the boat in Surat, was that? And yeah, so that was also very popular. So maybe this background here also. I don't see the pieces of metal sticking up. This is only in this part of the world. Maybe in Africa also, I don't know. In the Western world, and buildings are finished, they're just finished. They don't leave pieces of metal sticking out as here. So yeah, many people, not so much now, I don't think it's coming on TV now, but many people, for quite a few years, my Hindi lectures were being shown regularly on TV, and quite often people would come up to me in train stations and airports and say, "Aapko dekha TV par, bahut acha laga." I would say, "Well, what did you like? You liked seeing me on TV, what did you like? What did you like about what I said?" And I said, "Well, I can't remember anything you said, but I remember seeing you on TV." Hare Krishna. It comes on at that time of the morning. It used to come on about 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like breakfast prime time. But people have the TV on. They're not really watching it. They're brushing their teeth and taking their nasta. I see. They have the spiritual programs in the morning, keeping up the old tradition that in the morning you should have something spiritual. So they don't watch it or listen to it, I don't think, but at least it's there. Yeah, Doordarshan always used to do that, didn't they? In Doordarshan used to be sick. What, the lectures? It was yeah, it was 7:30. It was prime time. 6:30 is too early for many people. All channels, they have a spiritual start to the day. So many bogus gurus out there. Horoscopes and astrologers. That one time in Nathdwara, that came on the national news, that I was speaking in Hindi there. Somehow or other it came on the national news. That was... seen by many, but seen and forgotten. Srila Prabhupada said about that. And TV people, they see it and then something comes on and they forget. How much can you remember out of all them? Presumably, most of you have seen thousands of hours of TV in your life, is it? What do you remember? One thing I remember was that when I read Krishna book, and then in Ireland, and I just remembered that I'd seen on TV that there's a Hare Krishna center at Lechmore Heath. Somehow or other, the name Lechmore Heath stuck in my mind. Just the name of one of the thousands of villages in England. And it was told it was near to Watford, so I looked it up on a map and went from Ireland to England and went there. And the rest is history, as they say. So that's something I remember. Actually, if I think about it, there are probably many things I remember from TV, even though I wasn't an avid TV watcher. But probably there's a lot more that I forgot. That's true of everything, isn't it? Often people tell me something that they said or some years ago, and it's quite it has some effect on people, but I don't remember saying it. And one of my godbrothers in England said that another of our godbrothers, who had been years out of devotional study, had all kinds of trouble and was into Ritvikism for quite some time, that I had said to him at the Rath Yatra in London, "You really blew it," which means you really wasted your life. And that really affected him very deeply. That's what my one godbrother told me. And then I said to that godbrother, "Oh, I don't remember saying that." And he said, "I'll tell him that also, that he'll be even more affected." Okay, let's get on. I said Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, because I intend today to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Actually, this is spittable area. I don't need to utilize a tissue. Keep it. Sri Chaitanya Charita Madhalila Dvivingshati Parichad, Chapter 22, Text 131. Srimad Bhagavat Artanam Asvado Rasikai Saha Sajatiya Shaye Snigdhe Sadho Sangha Svatovare. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, and one should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. Purport. The words Sajatiya Shaye Snigdhe Sadho Sangha Svatovare are very important. And in the rest of the purport, Srila Prabhupada picks up on the words Sadhu Sangha and goes on to describe mostly what is not Sadhu Sangha. Srila Prabhupada continues the purport thus: one should not associate with professional Bhagavatam reciters. Because the point is here that one should relish the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. But so Srila Prabhupada says, a professional Bhagavatam reciter is one who is not in the disciplic succession, or one who has no taste for bhakti yoga. Yeah, and that's an important statement, because we see people who are renowned Bhagavatam speakers, but they may not be in a proper disciplic succession, or they may not practice bhakti yoga. For them, speaking is a profession. It's not that you'll find them up early in the morning chanting their rounds. They may have some, probably most of them have some kind of sadhana, but it's not, This verse, by the way, is taken from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, so most of them wouldn't be following the practices that Rupa Goswami says. On the principle that he gave, which is the substratum of everything in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyanakama Dhyanavitamanukulyena Krishnandashilanam Bhaktirutama. Pure devotional service should be free from any motives for following the path of karma for worldly enjoyment or the path of jnana for liberation from this world. One should execute Krishna consciousness in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna instead of thinking about one's own pleasure. So professional Bhagavatam reciters, they haven't taken this to heart. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aika Arna Koriho Manayasha. We should take the words of our Guru Rupa Goswami to heart. And this, if we get this verse one with our heart, then everything else will follow nicely. And if not, then everything else will, it won't give the result of pure devotional service. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. If the guru is satisfied, then if we get his mercy, then we get the mercy of Krishna. Without his mercy, whatever else we do, even if we chant 3 times 64 rounds a day, won't help us very much. We won't attain the ultimate destination. So, continuing. Simply on the strength of grammatical knowledge and word jugglery, professional reciters maintain their body and their desires for sense gratification by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This was a big thing at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who made such commentaries, and Srila Prabhupada, who followed such commentaries. There were many people in devotional service of sorts, and one of the main things was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. But who you hear from is so important. So it's a very common thing to hear reciters of Bhagavatam, and still is, in North India especially. Not so much nowadays in Bengal, or not much of that culture in South India. Not so much that culture of big gatherings for hearing Bhagavad Katha or Ram Katha, that's still there in North India. So one should also avoid those who are averse to Lord Vishnu and his devotees, those who are Mayavadis, those who offend the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, those who simply dress as Vaishnavas or so-called Goswamis, and those who make a business by selling Vedic mantras and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to maintain their families. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada has taken it from him. I haven't checked to see in Saraswati Thakur's commentary, but I just know from this term, selling mantras is a real, that's a classic Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati term. It means giving initiation at a fee. That's what it means. And then you give a mantra along with the initiation. That was also there in America when this TM was very big, when Srila Prabhupada went to America. Mahesh Yogi? What's his full name? Yeah, I can't remember. Maharshi Mahesh Yogi. So he would give initiation at a fee. I heard it was $30. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote that. I heard now it's $2,000. And then they give you a mantra. So it's like that. You can get initiated, but there's a fee for initiation. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call this selling mantras. One should not try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam from such materialistic people. According to the Vedic injunctions, yasya deve para bhaktihi, the Srimad Bhagavatam can be recited only by one who has unflinching faith in the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotee, the spiritual master. Now, obviously, the Srimad Bhagavatam can be recited physically by people who don't have unflinching faith in the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotee. Otherwise, there would be no question of talking about professional Bhagavatam reciters. But it means that actual recitation is that which is by pure devotees, those who have no material motive in doing so, those who are fixed in Vaishnav Siddhanta and Vaishnav Acharan, proper behavior in devotional service. One should try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam from the spiritual master. The Vedic injunction states, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam na Buddhya na Chatikaya. Interesting that it's stated as a Vedic injunction, because this is, you won't, if you look through the Vedas, which are extant nowadays, you won't find them. That this half verse was, it's well known in conjunction with the Aham Vedmi Shuko Veti. Vyasa veti na veti va. It's well known in conjunction with that half of the verse, which says that I know, this is Lord Shiva speaking, Shukadev Goswami knows, maybe Vyasa knows, maybe he doesn't. And then the rest of that verse is as quoted here. So that's relatively modern, at least. In terms of its being revealed in human society just in the last few hundred years. But Vedic injunction, Prabhupada states, Vedic injunction. And definitely it is. It means that the Bhagavatam can be grasped. Grahyam literally means grasped in the same sense as the English word. It means to be understood through bhakti, not by intelligence, nor simply by Tikaya, not simply by studying commentaries. Not simply, if you think I'll read so many things and then I'll become a great devotee, but there's more to it than that. Continuing, one has to understand Srimad Bhagavatam through the process of devotional service and by hearing the recitation of a pure devotee. These are the injunctions of the Vedic literature, Shruti and Smriti. So Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam, that can be classified under Smriti. In the Chandogya Upanishad statement about what constitutes Shastra, well, it states that it gives a list of all the things which emanated from the breathing of the Purusha, and includes there the Vedas, the Itihas, and one of them is Shloka. So that's very broad, isn't it? This is a shlok. So, is any shloka emanated from the breathing of the Purush? Not every shloka, but it does give a very broad possibility. Those who... and statements like this, they can be understood to be, if not Shruti, at least Smriti, because it... Srila Prabhupada translates, we've all heard that many times, one should not blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So the Sanskrit there is Shruti Shastra Nindanam. So Shruti and Smriti. So Smriti, which that, it's not exactly Shruti, it's not that which is known as the core Veda, but it follows in the version, follows the same understanding. Those who are not in the disciplic succession and who are not pure devotees cannot understand the real mysterious objective of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So that's the end of the purport. I usually, following Srila Prabhupada's example, say the pranam mantras after reading the purport, even though I started commenting. But anyway, I can do so now. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shatiputramatu Surupam Rupam Tasyagujamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Shri Radha Yaf Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayai Vaswadyo Yenad Bhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiyaha So Kyang Chas Ya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad-bhāvārdhya-samajani-shachigārbha-sindhau harinduhu Vedāhaṁ etaṁ purushaṁ mahāntaṁ āditya-vārnaṁ tamasah parastāt Tameva viditvāti mṛtyumeti nānyah pantha vidyate yanāya Yasmāt parang nāparam asti kinchit. Yes, please get this. So, in this purport here, Srila Prabhupada, following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's commentary, I presume, has given some thoughts, some instruction on the point of who we should associate with, who we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because the verse describes how we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. This verse, including Chaitanya Charitamrita, appeared in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu prior to this, that one should taste the meaning Srimad Bhagavat Artanam, the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Asvado, Srila Prabhupada, Asvadaha, Srila Prabhupada gives the word for word meaning here, the translation of this as enjoying the taste. Literally means to taste, but enjoying the taste. One can, in the Rasikai Saha, with Rasik Bhaktas. So Rasik means ones who enjoys the taste. Enjoying the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should associate with people who are sajati. Sajati ashaye. They have a similar desire as oneself. And snigde. They are affectionate. Snigda. Do you know that word? Does that come in Kannada? Snigda means affectionate. You know that from Gujarati in Hindi? Snigda. Snigda, sneha is a similar word, means the same thing. Snigda, it literally means like oil. Oil, did you have an oily composition? However, yes, food, snigda. That in that, when Krishna speaks about food in the mode of goodness, it should be snigda. Fatty, yeah. It can mean pleasing also. Snigda with something. But that fatty would be more according to Ayurveda also, that food should have some element of ghee in it. So, and Vare means they're better, means they're more, one should associate with more advanced devotees. So one should hear the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should taste that. Now, if we think about the meaning, we tend to think about philosophy and taste, we tend to think about the bliss of the stories, but it's all to be tasted in the company of devotees who are relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is to be relished and associated with more advanced devotees. So that means that we can also learn from them, pick up their mood. But sajata ashaye snigde, one should be in the company of those of the same disposition. We find in the case of Gopakumar in Brihad Bhagavatam, he went from place to place, he liked associating with devotees, but after some time in each place, he found it wasn't just according to his precise taste in devotional service. And he finally found that taste with Krishna in Govardhan, in the spiritual world. He went all the way from Govardhan to Govardhan. On a circuitous route. So, but this term of like disposition, that could be understood in a more prosaic way than this a very high idea of the same disposition. Same disposition, we can think, just like Gopakumar. He wasn't satisfied. He liked it, but he wasn't fully satisfied associating with devotees who had somewhat materialistic outlook, who had the mood of awe and reverence in approaching Krishna, who were devotees of Lord Rama. He went through so many different places he went to and so many different devotees. But his disposition was to love Krishna as a cowherd boy. But on a more prosaic level, or less rasik level, we could say, according to our disposition, what does that mean? It could mean that, for instance, we're in ISKCON, we like to associate with ISKCON devotees. And although we respect Gaudiya Math devotees and we like their association, but we have our own taste that we received, our approach that we received from Srila Prabhupada, which is somewhat different, just like with Gopakumar on that very high level, is somewhat different. It could mean something almost mundane, that Indians like to associate with Indians, and Americans with Americans, and even among Indians, Bengalis like to be with Bengalis, Uriyas like to be with Uriyas, Tamil people like to be with Tamil people, even among devotees. It could be like that. In the 1970s, Srila Prabhupada proved that a group of black body devotees in Cleveland, Ohio, which, as I'm told, is or was a city which was has a high population of black bodied people. So Srila Prabhupada proved that those devotees have their own center. Srila Prabhupada quoted, "Birds of a feather flock together," the English saying. He said it's okay as long as they work under the direction of the higher authorities. So it could be like that also, that coming from the same cultural background, one can relate very easily to people from the same cultural background. I know myself, for the first few years I was in India and Bangladesh, I just having a hard time working out the way people were thinking and living and acting, as culturally a misfit. So yeah, it could mean that there are different levels, that the devotees of the same disposition, we see that within ISKCON, some of the devotees who join after some time becomes quite apparent that their particular disposition is to worship Krishna more in the lines of the Sri Sampradaya. I've seen that in India and in the West. So they get enlivened in spiritual life, but then probably not so much for philosophical reasons, but just because their taste is like that, they go more that way. And you see people also from the Sri Sampradaya, and they become attracted to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one may, within this, one may approach certain guru or certain sangha of devotees, but then one finds that due to disposition, what does that mean? That means the psychological, it's difficult to define it without using the same word or a synonym for disposition, the psychological background that one has acquired in previous lives and in this life. And on the pure platform, on the liberated platform, it means what is one's own particular swarup. And that, and maybe somewhere in between also, because if someone in this life, he's not a perfect devotee, but he's inclined toward, even though joining ISKCON, whose worshipful deity is Vrajendranandan Krishna, they may be attracted to worship Rama, more Sitaram, or Lakshmi Narayana. So that may be disposition. That he, when a devotee gets together and devotees are talking about the worship of Ranganath Swami, and they really get enthused by that. Or it may be their racial, cultural type. Devotees from New York, you can almost work out who they are. Not always. I was surprised when Purnachandra Maharaj told me he was from New York. I said, "Well, you don't seem." I said, "You don't seem like you're from New York." He said, "It was a long time ago." For me, Danadas Swami is the epitome of this. He's just like, he's from New York, and he just relates so much with New Yorkers, and he can preach to them very nicely. It's this same bhav, you could say. So, being in a particular sampradaya or sub-sampradaya, I gave that example of ISKCON members vis-à-vis Gauriya Math. Even within ISKCON, we find groups according to different gurus. And people may be attracted to different gurus because of their own prior disposition. Worship of Krishna is multifaceted. So one can worship Krishna as Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurama. One may worship him as Krishna in Vrindavan and be in a completely different mood to others who are worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, or not completely different, but very different. Just like, for instance, we won't find Mother Yashoda in the Rasa dance. She doesn't even know about it. Is the major factor of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, you could say the whole center of his pastimes. Mother Yashoda doesn't know about it, she doesn't want to know about it, and no one's going to tell her. She's eternally in ignorance of the Rasalila. Well, maybe she has some inkling, but as far as she's, she'd be horrified that my poor boy, he doesn't get any sleep all night. She wants him to have a good rest after being out all day. So, devotees who are cultivating the mood of service to Krishna in parental affection, it's a very different mood to that. Even though it's one can have a female mood in approaching Krishna as a mother, but it's a very different to the female mood of approaching him as a lover, as Pradyumna said after he was saved from the fish, and the women in the palace treated him like mothers, and then he grew up very quickly, and then they were coquettish. Srila Prabhupada uses that word, flirting, in a flirting mood. And he said, "Hey, what's going on? You're just like mothers. You're just like mama." His wife, Rati, said, and she said, "Well, actually, you see, in a previous life, we were husband and wife, and we still are. Just that you got burned up by Lord Shiva, and you didn't have a body, now you've got a body. Ananga becomes Pradyumna." So, that's at a very high level. Then, even within devotional service, there may be different. Some devotees are interested in their own preferences for painting, or someone's preference may be very philosophical, or someone may be more interested in deity worship. So you see that, I know myself, if I meet devotees who are very philosophically inclined, I like to speak with them. I might not be so much inclined to speak to someone about the details of deity worship, because it's not something that's particularly, I haven't particularly gone down that path in devotional service. There are others. I remember once in Bangladesh, some devotees, they were just talking for hours about the details of, technical details of music. You may think that Bengali kirtan is folk music, but it's based on, it's derived from Vedic principles. And they were talking all technical stuff and going on, and they were really into it. And I saw that the devotees, we were traveling around with musically inclined devotees in places, they'd meet others who were, because it's a big thing in Bengal, music. It's very much central to the culture. So they'd meet other people who are really into music, and they'd never met them before. They just start talking about it. I don't even know, it's so technical, all the stuff they're talking about, but they really like that. That disposition was such that they like to associate with such people. Srila Prabhupada also, he's pure, perfect Paramahamsa, obviously. And he's equal to all, but then different people have their own particular likes and dislikes. And I've heard it stated that, and I don't think it's not offensive to say so, it's just realistic, that Srila Prabhupada, he actually liked Hari Shori very much. He liked to sit and talk with him, and almost in a friendly way, although Hari Shori himself was always very cautious not to overstep the limits. Whereas another servant of his, so Srila Prabhupada appreciated, he was very efficient in so many ways, not that Hari Shori was inefficient, but also Srila Prabhupada, he really got on his case a lot. He was very almost harsh, you could say, with him sometimes. So it may be like that you have certain people just like each other. They're just naturally attracted. I know the first time I met Manidhar Prabhu, he was just like that, like we'd known each other all our life. We just, from the moment we met, we're just like very good friends. And it's been going on for years now. So even though we're very different persons in many ways, so it may even be, we like to associate with devotees who have a similar outlook on devotional service, even in what might mean, we might say, political ways or cultural ways. We know that there's very much the discussion within ISKCON of conservative devotees, otherwise called fundamentalist, fanatic, or whatever, and then more liberally minded devotees, or left wing, or deviants. Depends on how you want to see them, but there's definitely some kind of divide, which does mirror to some extent, although we shouldn't overly presented in terms of the cultural values of the broader outside world, in which this is very prominent in America, the cultural divide between those who tend to be conservative and those who tend to be liberal on various issues, although there are different issues in the karmi world. Even to use that word karmi, the more liberal-minded devotees wouldn't want to use that term. So, the issues that in America, the very big debate over abortion, should it be allowed or not? I think it's only in America. It doesn't seem to be a big issue anywhere else, except maybe in the Vatican, but it's not so much an issue as they're just against it. Although you never know where the present Pope, he's just about as far away from the previous two popes or the previous several dozen popes that could be. But in America, then, the people of conservative values, they would expect it to be against abortion, and those who are liberal to be, they don't say pro-abortion, but they say women should have the choice. But in ISKCON, I hope that even the most liberal devotees wouldn't be pro-abortion. So there are different issues. But anyway, the point here is that according to our disposition, we like to be with devotees whose outlook is the same as ours. We may feel uncomfortable with devotees who have different values to those we have in the practice of devotional service. Personality-wise, maybe just like people and don't like others. Age, gender, just like class. It may be that people here in India, people who are from a middle-class background, they can't relate very well with village-type people and vice versa. More educated people, they may not relate very well with less educated. So there may be many different factors in which of disposition, although here it's specifically stated that one should associate with devotees who are more advanced and have a similar disposition. But even on the according to our psychological background, under the influence of the three modes of nature, there may be devotees that we prefer to associate with and those that we don't. And it's probably better that we do associate with devotees who we are inclined to associate with, as long as the association is good. That should be the main factor. Not that we should prefer to I'm very educated and intellectual. I like to associate with educated and intellectual devotees, even if they're not very serious about Krishna consciousness. But that shouldn't be. We should be eager to associate with devotees who are very serious about Krishna consciousness. Even if someone is very intellectual and likes to discuss the philosophy, but if they're not serious in their practice, or if they have heretical views, then we shouldn't associate with them according to this verse. They should be more advanced. So just because someone's philosophical doesn't mean they're more advanced by any means. So that's the main point. We should look for good association of devotees who are more advanced and discuss Shastra with them. But then within that, there may be some other cultural, psychological factors also. Snigdha, affectionate. It's interesting that term is mentioned. from the external perspective, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj wasn't very affectionate. He was a very tough person to associate with. If people asked for initiation, his general response was to beat them with an umbrella. If people wanted to touch his feet, he would curse them. He'd say, if you touch my feet, then you and all the previous generations of your ancestors will go to hell. So it seemed that he wasn't very affectionate. Of course, he was, but I discussed that previously, how he manifested certain moods, that's a certain kind of teaching for the world. One reason, if we analyze, of course, that Srila Prabhupada was so successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, there could be many reasons given for that, that he had firm, he said, because I had firm faith in the orders of my spiritual master. That was what he said, why he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj said because he had firm faith in the holy name. That was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj himself had firm faith in the holy name, and he recognized that in Srila Prabhupada, and he said that is the reason he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. All of these are true. Another factor we can say is that Srila Prabhupada was very affectionate. And we find in devotees recalling Srila Prabhupada, one overwhelming factor that devotees repeatedly mention or communicate is Srila Prabhupada's affection. Not that Srila Prabhupada went around with some kind of treacly, artificial smiling at people, but his affection was apparent to almost everyone who came in contact with him. So that is a factor in communicating Krishna consciousness, that we have to associate with devotees who are superior to us and who are also inclined to give us Krishna consciousness. And they should be of the same disposition. This is a very important factor, that someone may be they may be very affectionate to us, but they may have a different disposition, and then we can't really get from them what they want to give. Anupam, who was renamed Vallabh by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan, he was the devotee of Rama, and they said, well, why don't you also become a devotee of Krishna like us, and then we can all live happily together. But he couldn't do it. His brothers were affectionate toward him, but they couldn't give to him what was his heart's desire in Krishna consciousness, because they were of a different mood. So affection is certainly required, and that will be invoked by Tadvithi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. What is this submissively bowing down, asking questions, service, all this is to invoke the affection, the mercy of the Guru upon us, so that he will be very pleased to communicate all that he has received from his Guru. He'll be pleased to communicate that to us. So sajatiya, of the same disposition. Well, the real meaning of that is they have the same ultimate goal in mind. Prayojana. What is our prayojana? Generically, we say prayojana means, prayojana and sambandha are very close. So the prayojana is to be established in one's position as Krishna Das. Sambandha means to generally understand that we are all Krishna Das. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and I'm His eternal servant. But prayojan means one's specific service. Swarasikhi siddhi, one's own particular inclination in pure devotional service that might not develop immediately. So that kind of association will help us to develop and nourish the inclination that we have. Now, this verse in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, there's not much commentary on that. But the verse that appears after that in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Sajata Ashaya Snigda, Srimad Bhagavat Arthanam Asvado Rasikai Saha. Sajata Ashaya Snigde, Sadhu Sango Sato Vare. So the verse that comes after this verse which we're reading today, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is a verse composed by Rupa Goswami. It's not his imagination, it's based on everything in Shastra. And then, but in the next verse, he includes in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is a verse which appears twice in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a fairly well-known verse. Tula yama lavena api na swargam na punabhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. That even a moment's association with a pure devotee can award something which, beyond elevation to the heavenly planets, beyond liberation, is very difficult to attain in this world. So the idea there is there that association with devotees, what kind of devotees? Those who are not interested in karma and jnana, going to the heavenly planet, simply getting liberation. So that idea is there. Jiva Goswami in his commentary talks about those devotees in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Says those who are tat saman va sanatva, those who have the same aspiration. And then in the verse following that, there's the yasya yad sangatif pungso. The verse says that association acts like a crystal. This is actually quoting Hiranyakashipu, that whatever light goes into it, the same kind of light reflects out from that. So, having the company of those who have the same aspiration, those who are more advanced than ourselves, and by invoking their affection, then they like to give what they have received. They think that this devotee is a proper person to receive what I have received, what I am receiving from my guru, from our gurus. So, in other words, to invoke their mercy. Then, they also have to associate with more advanced devotees. It means they should associate with more advanced devotees. They should always be relishing Bhagavad commentaries, associating with the more advanced devotees. Srila Prabhupada, near the beginning of his commentary on Bhagavatam, he had already committed at that late stage of his life, to put it in conventional terms, he'd already committed to translate the whole Bhagavatam with commentaries, a massive undertaking, which means many, many books. Srila Prabhupada originally conceived of having his Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. 30 of them, I believe, was for 10th canto. So, early in his commentaries, he states that hearing the message of Shastra is more important than reading it. Even though he's putting so much in writing, but he said that hearing is more important. So, those who are more advanced, they may not want to associate with us. because they're told to advance, to associate with more advanced. Of course, who's very advanced? They see everyone is advanced except me. But that's also the order. They also have to do the follow the order of their own guru, who tells them to jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh amaragyai guru haya taro edesh, to give this message of Gita and Bhagavatam to others. Hare Krishna. Any thoughts about this? Comments? Questions? Corrections? Initially, when we come in Krishna consciousness, we don't have much choice, do we? I remember Satsarup Maharaj used to make this comment that in ISKCON I'm associating with all kinds of people who I'd never choose to associate with. If it wasn't in devotional service, I wouldn't hang out with these kinds of people. So that was his comment. You're really in a mixed bag. You get whatever comes. But the fact that they're devotees, that is the overwhelming fact. They made. They may be culturally or linguistically or whatever different, but because we are interested in bhakti, so the fact that they are in devotional service, that is the overwhelming fact. But naturally, as Srila Prabhupada said, birds of a feather flock together, then even within the society of devotees we may gravitate toward those of a similar disposition. It's like that in the material world also. It's not that you can just always choose who you want to associate with. Exactly the kind of people you want to associate with. It's just you get mixed up in this world with all different kinds of people. And as much as you have choice, you'll prefer to associate with those of a similar disposition. A lot of the time you may be in the company of others whose it's not such a natural liking toward them. Yeah, we should associate with those who help us to advance in devotional service. Not that we just look for those who we like to associate with. So that's the point. The point here is that we should associate with more advanced devotees and taste Srimad Bhagavatam in their association. But within that general instruction is that we should associate with those of similar disposition. And actually the point is that the real point is that we should associate with devotees who are inclined in devotional service in the same way we are. That means that our ultimate prayojana, Krishna in Vrindavan, or Ram in Ayodhya. But I was just discussing it on a more down to earth level. Okay, Hare Krishna. You want to say something? No. All right, so we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.